The Lord be with you.
I only recently just found out that one of my ancestors, on my dad's side, fought in the Battle of Dunbar on the Scottish side, which turned out to be the losing army, defeated by Oliver Cromwell and his New Model Army in 1650. As a result, I'm a descendant of a hapless loser who was sold into indentured servitude and sent to North America to work off the debt of his loss. As it happens, I wouldn't exist, my cousin Ryan wouldn't exist, and Edith and Lucy wouldn't exist without that loss in history, which is a strange thought. This little bit of family history felt kind of sad and real to me, and it only served to reinforce my already dim view of Oliver Cromwell. Thank you very much. Can we get some booze from the choir, please? Yes, doing my heart good. How one views the whims of kings and their armies usually depends on, were your people on the winning side or not? We Canadians have enjoyed the vantage point as the winning side for a really long time. And that comes with all kinds of perks and a whole lot of blind spots. It's understandable then that depending on who you are and where you're from, the title Christ the King Sunday can be a controversial and a sticky bit of theological business for you. For a lot of reasons. The image of a king can be so problematic. In some cases, the issue is that you are so devoted to the idea of your victorious king and country in the way that we are witnessing currently with the resurgent wave of Christian nationalism in our political sphere. But also the image of a king can be a real problem for our imaginations in general. If you give any thought to what humanity has made of the office of king, boy, we carry a lot of baggage. Hard-earned with the history of tragic or foolish or terrible kings. Celebrating Jesus as king can be confusing for our hearts. The common conception of a king isn't a brave or wise one like Aragorn, the renewer from Lord of the Rings, or the popular image of a king usually includes the observation that all of that wealth, all of that privilege and comfort and luxury rots away at the brain and the soul, finally creating a human being who is woefully out of touch with the realities in their own kingdom. We picture in our heads a royal figure who doesn't understand a normal person's struggle. A leader who is so insulated and pampered that they don't even see the ways that their court jester mocks and ridicules them as someone who has lost a critical piece of their humanity. And so, over a year ago, in one of our annual planning meetings, with the Christ the King Sunday in mind, I had notions of a shift in tone. A little different. Track with me here. Leaning heavily on today's text from Colossians, goes like this: He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile all things to himself. Reconciliation of all things Sunday. That's the ticket. It's got the same themes, and it's leveled up, it's deeper, it's wider, without all of the trappings and icky cultural baggage of royalty and kingdoms. Christ's reconciliation of all things has such a nice ring to it, doesn't it? It's a bit more mysterious and esoteric, sure, and maybe a little airy-fairy even, but also such a sweet view of Christ in the world for us to reflect on. Meditations on the cosmic Christ expand our view of all creation, affording us imagination to think of the firstborn at all of all creation at work in and through and all around us. Richard Rohr wrote a whole book inviting us to consider that all of creation is both the hiding place and the revelation for God, in whom this world becomes home, safe, enchanted, offering grace to any who look deeply. Who wouldn't appreciate an entire sermon planting such seeds of contemplation? A fine and mysterious invitation indeed. What a great idea, Jeremy. But then as Evelyn and I were comparing notes about possible hymns for the day, I chanced on another casual passing look at the lectionary readings for the week. Why did the lectionary editors choose the excruciating gospel text from Luke 23? This is their pick as the final reading for the church year together for us? Isn't it enough that we give this dark and painful image so much care and attention during Holy Week? Does a preacher really need everybody to hold and view once more the crucified Christ? Really? As it turns out, those lectionary editors were paying attention this whole time. Because this is where Luke's gospel has been taking us all year. And this, as they say, is Christ the King Sunday. To get here today, we've actually skipped over some key turning points in Luke's gospel. These are normally reserved for the season of Lent, of course. Jesus weeping at the city gates as he foresees Jerusalem's destruction. The Last Supper, Judas's betrayal, Jesus arrested and brutalized. He's taken before the high priests, as well as Pilate and Herod. We've jumped over all of that to get us here today. Each of these betrayals and miscarriages of justice, each with their own grotesque ironies. Only a few days earlier, of course, Jesus had entered the city with crowds chanting all around him, aptly enough, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." And here, just a few days later, Jesus is not celebrated as a king ascending to a throne. The one who had been welcomed into the city in triumph is being carried off in handcuffs. And then the text just drops us right into it this week. And Luke fits this blistering image in the span of just a few short verses. When they came to the place that is called the Skull, they crucified Jesus there with the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. The Son of Man forcibly marched into this grim location, robbed of dignity and possessions, thrown in alongside bad men, mocked and ridiculed, humiliated, exposed, lifted up as an example of what it looks like to defy the authorities, everything taken from him. And one more insult to add to all of that injury, hanging above his head is another cruel joke mocked up by the soldiers, a sign with the inscription, "This is the King of the Jews." What sort of king has Jesus become? Naturally, I can feel it in this room, we all want to look away. Your preacher wanted to look away this week. I can only imagine the horrors of living in a time when this sort of punishment was a regular and commonplace thing on roadsides and city streets. In the Gospels, We have so many stories of Jesus' encounters with people. Classes and races and religious and ethnic and socioeconomic backgrounds. Each of those interactions reveal for us something of the nature of the person of Jesus. And here in Luke's short and brutal story, another of these encounters with leaders and bystanders and soldiers and two criminals executed alongside him. And if you get into the weeds of it, more to the point, Luke's gospel calls them evildoers, one on his right and one on his left. One man scornful, the other filled with grief for his crimes. In this sad place, this moment of human suffering and humiliation, Christ the King, the firstborn of all creation, revealed himself to those condemned men. The second man said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus replied, "Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." As Colossians 1 puts it, through him God was pleased to reconcile all things, whether on heaven or on earth, by making peace through the blood of his cross. This is who Jesus has always been. These few verses, a picture of Christ in all of human history and beyond. Christ in every corner of creation. Christ there in the midst with the gawking crowds. Christ there with the scoffers and mockers, with those rough soldiers and religious leaders and so-called kings and politicians, and with the regular fearful folk. And he's there with the evildoers too. Christ there with each of us. As we question, as we shout, as we maneuver, as we negotiate, as we finally even maybe repent in our suffering, in our questioning, in our pain, or our embarrassment. Christ with the whole of human history. Human history with its many grotesque ironies. I don't need to tell you, we live in a strange time. At once, exactly the same as it ever was, and yet so different. Us, with a view of so many fellow human beings humiliated, terrorized, people snatched away from their families and thrown into horrific prisons. The world's kingdom may not practice crucifixion anymore, but they are no less practiced at forms of humiliation and calculated suffering. And what a crowd of scoffers and mockers howl into the darkness. And yet, even still, the whole of creation bears witness. Even when we ourselves are often tempted to look the other way, if this is our reality, then our lives beg for a faith which speaks from the very lowest places, from every place, celebrated as a high place, maybe, or mocked as a low place by whatever systems or customs prevail. A faith given shape as it follows the flesh and blood of the one crucified, the one who shared compassion in his own suffering, the one who also holds everything together, even when it feels like everything is falling apart. In the dark, we call out to the one who is profoundly, deeply, intimately in touch with humanity, the one who knows us in our pain and loss and does not turn his head from us in our grief or our suffering. And so we follow the one who offers words of hope to those who find themselves in desperate places. On this Christ the King Sunday, we look together from the vantage point of the one who loves the whole human race. The one who is present in us and with us through all of history. Be it public, overwhelming, infuriating, and deafening history, or in our private, complicated, silent, personal histories. With such a view of all things, may we be inspired to practice faith in the midst of these, with imagination, with courage and hope, creativity, beauty, and tenderness. May this work be local and personal, real and vital, risky, with our hands and our feet and our sweat and our hearts and our voices working in surprising ways of love. May we be people who offer words of blessing when all around us are scoffing, even as we ourselves continue to ask, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom? Amen. Thanks be to God.